Grace and mercy are yours from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, delivered to us this day by his word. The text for today are the last couple of verses of the epistle reading, and this is the letter of Paul, the second letter of Paul to Timothy. He writes, "But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you." These are the words. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful that you have entered into this world and by means of your word have given to us faith which knows of nothing to trust but you and what you say and what you have done for us in Christ. We ask today that through these words, as you have promised, that you would strengthen our faith in you, that you would set us apart from this world by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Fellow redeemed in Christ, you've probably heard the words sound mind and body. Sometimes they don't necessarily apply to me when I wake up in the morning, but sound mind and body, you usually hear those words spoken when somebody's reading a will out loud. And the idea of those words is to show that the person making the will was able to make good decisions at the time that they wrote the will. A person who is sound in body is healthy. A person who is sound in mind is able to make good decisions. And we use that word sound like that for a lot of things. A person who is sound in his teaching teaches correctly. A building that is sound is not going to collapse on your head. It's solid. Paul writes to Timothy and to us, follow the pattern of sound words. Hold fast the pattern of sound words, words that aren't going to collapse on you. He reminds us of that word. He reminds us of the sound word of the law, which the Lord has given to show his holy will and to show us our spiritual condition. He's given us the sound word of the gospel, which correctly shows God's gracious mercy. And then finally, Paul writes that we are able to hold fast the pattern of sound words kept by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, in correct, healthy, strong, sound faith, if you will. Now, the words that Paul used to instruct young Timothy were correct. They were healthful. They were strong. In fact, the very word of God. And Paul began by teaching Timothy the law of God. And that's what we need to be taught first as well. The sound word of the law teaches us and shows us where we stand before the Lord. God summarized it for us in many different ways in the Old Testament. We don't have to read the whole Old Testament to see the law. We don't have to read the New Testament to understand the law. The Ten Commandments are very simple. A short summary of what the law says. Jesus summarized the law this way. He said, we should love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, and with all our mind, and love our neighbors as ourselves. In the Sermon on the Mount, he makes it even shorter for us, and I'm glad he did this. He said, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. That's all that's required by God's holy law, that we be perfect in loving God, loving our neighbors, loving ourselves. But where does that leave us? Well, David understood the law. He said, if you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? So first of all, if there are any of you with us today who are perfect, you're excused at this point, because I don't have anything else I can tell you. Jesus doesn't either. He says you don't need a doctor if you're healthy, but you need a dose of reality if you think that. We're just deluding ourselves if we think that we have done what God has commanded. The Word of God and our consciences both clearly show us that we're not perfect. They also show us that we have disobeyed God, whose law is sound. We've loved all kinds of things that He's created, and yet we often forget the one who did the creating in the first place. He's not first in our lives, usually. And when we think about the people around us, our neighbors, who desperately need this message from God, well, Do we go out and tell them? Do we do that all the time? How many people have we actually spoken to about God recently? Is it all right to have sort of a neglectful attitude toward what we do on Sunday morning? There are plenty of people who come only maybe once a month to church, or even less. And they don't hear what God has to say. If we've only rarely ever gone out of our way for our neighbors, especially the ones who don't act like they ought to, it's easy to see that we have not loved as we should. It's easy enough to love those who love us, to love our children and our family and maybe our friendly neighbors, but those people that have the music turned up until 2 o'clock in the morning down the street, what do we think about them? The point of the sound law of God is simple. We haven't been perfect. We haven't been loving like the Lord. In fact, far from it. We've broken God's law in just too many ways to count. Every day we miss the mark. That's what the word sin means. Even though we know that the wages of sin is death, we've heard that in God's word. We know that, and yet we just don't do that. We don't follow God's law. We can try to dismiss the conscience. We can try to not pay attention to what God has to say. We can ignore the word. We can avoid it. We can hide from them. But God sees your heart, and He sees my heart, and He knows. That word of God is sound. It's not going to change on us. It correctly shows us our shortcomings and our failures, but it's not healthy. It's not healthy because the sting of death is sin and the strength of sin is the law. The law strikes us down. It's like a billy club. The law decrees eternal death for all who have ever sinned. But there's another word too, a higher word, which is sound in a different way. Listen to how Paul finishes that thought. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That word, that good news, that gift of God, we call the gospel. That gospel of the eternal life in Christ Jesus is the good thing that was entrusted to young Timothy. And that's the same good news that you've heard preached here and at other churches. It's the good news that has been given to us down through the ages. And just listen. He has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. You have a Savior. That's what Paul is saying to Timothy, and that's what he's saying to us today. Your sins are forgiven. Straightforward. Death is abolished by him, by Christ. And you have all of this, not through the things that you've done, not through the strength of your own reasoning or the strength of your hands. You have this through the gospel that you have heard that was preached to you. Eternal life is yours. How can a bunch of words do that? Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. That righteousness of God is given to you in Christ. It's not your own righteousness. It's given to you. It's a foreign righteousness. It comes to you from God. Excuse me. And it's revealed to us by way of the gospel. And that gospel gives to you faith. You know, that's an awfully confused word these days. People think faith is what you gin up in yourself so that you can believe something that just seems impossible. But Scripture uses the word very differently. Faith is an ability that God has given to you through his word, through this gospel message, so that you believe what he says. God can do that. He's your creator. Don't forget that. You couldn't go and get faith for yourself. You couldn't go and carry out your salvation yourself. That cross was too high and too heavy. And our hearts are too heavy laden with sin. God himself, Jesus, had to decide to help us. He had to have mercy on us. He had to do the work of buying us back from our sins, redeeming us. He had to take the burden of our sins upon himself and be raised up on that cross. You couldn't die in your sin and live again, but God could. And he did. And Jesus did that for you. He died on that cross for you with your sins all heaped upon him, blamed on him, punished in him, so that it's gone. As far as God is concerned, he declares that you are righteous 100% for Christ's sake. That's the gospel message. It's so simple. You're forgiven because of Jesus. That is the message of your baptism, where that old sinful nature is washed away, where you are saved by that message of forgiveness in Christ. You're forgiven. Paul highly commends Lois and Eunice for young Timothy's faith because of their role in bringing him the gospel in baptism. You're forgiven because of your baptism. You're forgiven because of Christ. It's the same message. You're forgiven in him, and it's the same message in the sacrament that we're about to partake in. His body and blood are here given. Why? For the forgiveness of all your sins. You're forgiven in him. That's the message. That's the message in the absolution at the beginning of the service every time, where you can hear God speaking through his mouthpiece here those words. I forgive you all your sins. Nobody here, whether they're able to partake of the sacrament or not, nobody should walk away thinking that their sins are not forgiven. The Lord has spoken. It's all so simple and so sound. There's nothing in all the world that can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Paul reminds Timothy that God chose him and gave him salvation in Christ before time began. And so I have to ask you, if God is for you, who can be against you? And yet there is something within us. that can separate us from God's love. We can do that. We can step away from what he's given. We can willfully reject him. We can starve our faith by ignoring this law and gospel message. We can discard our faith. We can follow our itching ears and listen to more appealing words, the words of men, which are terribly unsound and which will pass away. The word sound is the translation of hugianonton in our text, which is a Greek word that means a careful design. It's something like a blueprint. We can avoid parts of God's counsel. We can reject that God is a just God. We can reject the law. We can try to think of him as the big guy in the sky who's always nice and happy. And we can neglect what he's told us. We can neglect what he said in the gospel, that it's full and free, and try to put conditions on it in our own minds. Then our faith becomes based on unsound things. We can try to avoid the sufferings and difficulties of the Christian life, but then that pattern of Christ is no longer there with us, and our faith is not sound. All of God's counsel must be in our hearts and minds, and that's not a task that our feeble hearts and minds are up to. We must be kept by the Holy Spirit in the Word. He must supply us with opportunities for good works and then move us to do them. He keeps the whole structure of our faith sound. How? By the preaching and teaching of his sound word, which we hear again and again. He's the one who makes healthy our weak faith through the gospel message. The Holy Spirit is the one who is building you up right now. That's why we come to church. That's why we stick our heads in God's word and pay attention to what he has to say. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" Our foundation is this word. The blueprint for our lives and for our faith is this word, and it's so sound and so simple. We rely on God, who has given his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. We rely on God to give us faith and to strengthen that faith through these sound words that he has given us by the Holy Spirit. Dear Christian brothers and sisters, this is God's saving message for you. It's important. It is the power of salvation for all of us who believe. And it gives us and our lives a purpose and a meaning and a mission. We have something wonderful to share. Never forget that. May the Lord bless you through these sound words of law and gospel and keep you in the faith by his Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.